here we're getting close to the end of the series on 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. These 11 verses have some things that are very important for the Christian to add to their life. And when you pick up 2 Peter, hold your place there and then go back to Jeremiah chapter 17. Let me show you something about your heart. Because I said this morning, we need to add to our love life charity. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 and 10. Most every one of us, you know, we think we have the ability to love. But let's look at our heart from God's viewpoint. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says this. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Wow, what a way to talk about the heart. Hollywood won't publish that verse. Who can know it? Well, verse 10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You know, we believe that our hearts basically are right, and that we love right, and that all our problems are external. But God says all of our problems are heart problems. Okay, before I get to that, God says all of our problems are heart problems. I think if I worked on my love for God, my love for my family, if I worked on my love for souls, I think I'm pretty well nearly covering all the problems I have. Every drink problem is a heart problem. Every home problem is a heart problem. Every money problem is a heart problem. Somebody once said, all church problems are really heart problems. Either we love God or we love sin. Either we love God or we love self more. All the problems that a Christian experiences can be solved with one word, charity. All the strife, the divisions, all the marital conflicts, all the lawsuits, all the financial problems, the disorders around even the Lord's Supper, they're all heart problems. Now, when we're looking at spiritual growth, we're looking at we start with what? What is it that we start with? We start with faith, okay? And as we add to our faith, each one of these things, first, 2 Peter says, as you add to these things, it's so that you're not barren or unfruitful. It's so that I can bear fruit as a Christian. I add these things to my life. It's kind of like you plant a seed and you add some fertilizer. You add some water. You give it, you put it in sun. All of those things added make for a strong plant. So we add to our faith virtue. To virtue we add knowledge. We get our knowledge from the Bible. We add to our knowledge temperance. That's something that's missing in most people's lives. We're under the control of our friends. We're under the control of our stomach. We're under the control of our eyes and lust. To bring ourselves under the control of the Holy Spirit. Patience. Boy, that's a big one. Add to our patience godliness. To our godliness, brotherly kindness. And then finally, we add to one final one, which is charity. Now, charity, I kind of simply describe as living completely unselfishly. And you may think you've arrived, but don't you believe it, okay? Don't you believe it at all. We've come a long way as I work through all these things. We start with foundation. Some of these words we haven't quite got yet. Because virtue is one of those words where it defines what we allow ourselves to do and what we allow ourselves not to do. It boxes us in so we say, I can't do that anymore. It's not that I don't want to. It's that I can't. Other people can do it and get away with it. But as a Christian, I can't. Right? Virtue says, you know what, I'm putting some limits on my life. And that's a good thing. As soon as you get saved, you need to stop doing some other things that you used to do so quickly. You know, we've said it before, but it's easier to give up cigarettes as soon as you get saved than it is to try and give it up a couple of years later. You need to have some virtue. You say, I need to put this down, never pick it up again. Then we add knowledge. And sometimes you don't know what to give up. Sometimes you don't know what to do. And you say, you know, maybe I was a little bit extreme when I first got saved. You know, I was a little bit caustic when I first got saved. you know, and I was a little bit in your face to people. That's okay. I'd rather somebody, when they first they get saved, they just say, I got to go witness, and they just get in the face of everybody, tell everybody they're going to hell, and you pull them back from that, sort of make them a little more, careful, tactful, whatever. But I'd rather that, and add some Bible knowledge of how to say it, what to say, so on and so forth, than trying to take somebody who's dead and trying to get them motivated to start. So you add to your virtue knowledge, and then you add not to knowledge, temperance, that's given control over the Holy Spirit, patience, where you wait on God. That's the test of faith. And then you add godliness, where you start acting, thinking, having habits and desires that match the way Jesus Christ lived. I mean, if there's any illustration of what godliness was like, it was Jesus Christ. And then brotherly kindness, making sure that you love each other Christian, love other Christians above your job, above your own needs, and you make them part of your extended family. Don't keep everybody at church. Make sure you love them during the week. Man, the Lord will lay somebody on your heart. Phone them up. Just go check on them. Call them up, man. Invite them over to the house. Add brotherly kindness. And there's one more to take, and we've been focusing on the last couple of weeks now, and that's charity. We try to define it. It's one of those words. Somebody says, charity is just love. I don't believe that at all. I think charity is such a superior word. It's one of those words. Love has got one of those blah definitions. Love is a fine word, but charity is a better word. And trying to define that thing, God defined put a whole chapter in to try to define it. 1 Corinthians 13, because you can't just define it with one word. So when you say the word charity, when he says there in 2 Peter, he says, add to brotherly kindness charity in verse 7. He's talking about something that's more than love. And really, it's loving kindness. That's that gentleness that God has toward us. I mean, if God is the creator of this entire universe, how he handles a little piece of lint like me, he has to be gentle. Amen? Think about how gentle he is towards a nobody like us. Loving kindness. It's a love expressed from the whole heart, not just a part. Well, I have a little bit of love for somebody. No. Charity, Matthew 22:7 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's charity. Not just a little bit. And it's perfect. It's just, you know, it's with you out of the way. With your needs not being worried about at all. It's a giver where you don't get anything back. I like this definition. It's love without limits. You say, well, I love them. Listen, you don't have limits on charity. Charity gives and then gives some more and then gives some more. So how does a person add this way of loving to his or her life? And if God says to do it, then how do we do it? How do you add charity to what you think you already do? Well, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Four thoughts. Four things. How it grows in a believer. And it's got to be added carefully. Revelation chapter 3. You can leave 2 Peter. Revelation chapter 3. Romans chapter 5. Well, leave Romans for a moment. We'll come back to it. Revelation chapter 3 in verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Now, evidently, Jesus wants to come in. Now, that's an act of love. I mean, if I were God, I would have walked away a long time ago. Amen? As many times as he's been rejected, how many of you, I mean, if you don't have to raise your hand, but think about it, how many of you, before you got saved, you put it off. You made fun of somebody trying to give you the gospel. You laughed at them. You passed by a church and you just, that's for losers. Think about it, I mean, how many times did God put up with you making fun of him? And yet he kept knocking. Amen? That's love. So it starts with Jesus Christ. The fact that he wants in blows me away. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. So charity begins with Jesus Christ. So how do you grow charity in the life of a believer? The first thing is you need to accept it. Everybody in this room needs to, you say, I'm saved, and I'm saved 33 years. You think I've got to a place where I have added charity to my life and I've got charity just oozing out of me? You think I do? No, I don't. You see, you got to start and say, you know, I'm not there yet. In order for you to have a life of charity, you have to realize you don't have it. 1 John 4:7. We just quoted that, but let's look at it. Go back from Revelation just a few pages to 1 John 4 in verse 7. We'll start here. We'll start with Dr. Eric. 1 John 4 in verse 7.
Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knoweth God.
All right, where does love come from according to that verse? All right, love is of God. Somebody says, well, it came naturally from my heart. Probably not. If it did, it was only a shadow, only a taste of what real love ought to be and what charity ought to be. Whatever love you have, it's nothing compared to the love of God. Luke chapter 7 and Allison, Luke 7 and verse 47.
Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. To whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little.
Wow. Now that is revolutionary, because most people think that they start off with a love for God. But according to the Bible, what is it that actually activates real love? Forgiveness. And who's the one who needs to be forgiven? The one who wants to love is not able to love until they have received the love of God through forgiveness, the first thing. All right? So we start with getting forgiven. Now look at what type of forgiveness. Romans chapter 5 now. Romans chapter 5. And let's see. I'm going to get Marianne. If you'll read Romans 5, 8 to 10.
But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath to him. But if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his name.
So these are words that are powerful. To commend love. What does that mean? To commend love. God commendeth his love. Yes. And it gives the idea of he risked it. He gave it. And you can reject it. When he commended, it'd be like me commending somebody and them not being worthy of it. Okay? You ever had a recommendation? You ever been commended? Good. Well, God commended his love toward sinners who didn't deserve it. That's a risk, isn't it? I wonder if they're going to receive it. So this is a powerful... The most important thing to do every morning when you wake up is to realize the love of God is there. And you need to accept it. Marlene, you want to read Isaiah 59 in verse 2. Isaiah 59 in verse 2.
Now?
Please, ma'am.
Behold the Lord.
You just do verse 2, please.
Iniquities. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins hid his face from you,
that he will not hear. Alright, so here's this situation where we're not right with God. Our sins have turned him away from us. We've shoved him away, and he ought to walk away, but instead he comes around another way and he tries to win us to himself. So every time we look in the Bible and we see ourselves, we see, man, why does he love me? But that's a good question. That's a good question. And then we come to John 3:16. Somebody quote that for me. Let's see. Shanaz, can you quote John 3:16? Wow. What a trade. He so loved us that he traded his son for me. He gave his son, because he loved me, so that I could have eternal life. If you don't receive his love, you'll never be able to give it. Does that make sense? Some people have trouble loving people. It's because you're trying to do it without receiving the giver of love. Go to Ezekiel 36 and verse 26, Paul. Ezekiel to the right, 36 and verse 26. Yes.
A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh.
Wow. So what kind of heart do we normally have?
Stony.
Hard heart. Right. The Lord wants to put a heart that's soft, that's new. He can't do that. He's not a Calvinist. He doesn't do it without your permission. Remember, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and opens the door," it's our free will, isn't it? If you want the soft heart, you can get it. You can get it tonight. A lot of people will say, "I don't need it," and you'll go on through life and never experience the absolute joy of charity. You'll never experience the love of God. You know, Jude says, keep yourselves in the love of God. I can't get God to love me anymore, but I can get away from it. Amen? And I need to keep myself in the love of God and realize it's there for me. Accept it first. Second way you grow and add is you seek it. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. Let's see, Marcus. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Chapter 13, Marcus, was about what? 1 Corinthians 13, what was it all about? Chapter 13, but it was mainly about charity. Now, look at the first couple of words, and I want you to see something in chapter 14, verse 1.
Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy.
Okay. So yeah, you can desire spiritual gifts, but you should rather prophesy. That's preaching. But what's the first thing he says?
Follow after charity.
What does that mean?
Look for charity.
Look for charity. I want a more meaty definition. Yes.
Pursue it.
Like you would a wife. Follow after. Oh, honey, please, whatever you want to do tonight, let's follow after charity. It is where you listen. As soon as you taste of this kind of love, as soon as you taste of the Christian life that is one of giving, anybody who's ever led a soul to Christ, you know what you want? You want to lead another one to Christ. You wish you could quit your job. If you ever just taste of the things of God, you'd say, Pastor, you have the best job in the world. I didn't even realize it. And you do. When you just sample it. Pursue after charity. Seek to have more of it. You want to say, I need more. There's no addiction. There's no RU for charity. Amen? You can have as much as you want. And you can be as addicted as you want, and it's fine. Amen? Look at 1 Peter 4:8, and I'll get Barry to read 1 Peter 4:8. Imagine somebody coming here saying, "Oh, Brother Tony, Brother Dan, I'm addicted to charity." You don't want to fix that. Amen? 1 Peter 4:8.
And what about things that perfect charity among yourselves? For charity shall cover the multitude of sins.
Right, listen to these adjectives, listen to these descriptive words. Above all things, more than anything else, you should have what? Does it say just charity? I mean, charity already is love without limits, isn't it? That's a pretty big thing, isn't it? But it didn't say just charity. Say it with me. Fervent charity. You guys aren't very fervent. How do you get them motivated? Amen? I try and it goes all over the place. All right. Have fervent charity. You know, I can't. We were in preacher's workshop. We were talking about Proverbs, and chapter 3, and it describes, or was it chapter 2? It was chapter 2 or chapter 3, and it describes wisdom. And it's Solomon talking to his son. Oh, it's chapter. You were in chapter 2, weren't you? Chapter 2. Solomon was talking about wisdom to his son, and the way he described it, he says, "If you seek her like choice silver, if you cry for her in the streets, you'll find her." And this is the pursuing that a Christian needs to say. He says, you know what, Lord? I don't want to be stale. I don't want to be stuck as a Christian that I am today. I want revival. I want to have a type of life that just oozes with charity. I'm so tired of loving the world like Lot. I want to love you, and I want to love God's people. I want to love your word. I want to love soul winning. I want to love church. I want to love the unlovable, like Jesus did. That's where you seek it. Now, it costs you. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Myra, 1 Peter 2 and verse 5.
You also, as living stones, are being built up into a house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices accepted of God through Jesus Christ.
All right. Now, I'm part of a spiritual house, a temple, okay, of the believers. But I'm supposed to, if you look at this, I'm supposed to offer up spiritual, and next word,
sacrifices.
But it doesn't say spiritual offerings. You know the difference between an offering and a sacrifice, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
All right, you know about the pig and the chicken.
Mm-hmm.
The chicken at breakfast makes an offering. The chicken at the breakfast makes an offering, but a pig, he makes a sacrifice. It's called rashers.
Mm-hmm.
It costs him everything to make breakfast, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And if you're a Christian, we're not asked to give a few bob, a little bit of time. We're asked to make a spiritual sacrifice. As a matter of fact, a living sacrifice of my life. So there's a price to be paid. Mark 12. Mark 12, verse 33, Brother Dennis. Mark 12,
33. With all the help, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love this neighbor as himself is more than all wholesome offering and sacrifice.
Wow. It's worth more, but it also costs more than as if you could collect all the cattle on 1,000 hills and offer them. It's going to cost you plenty when you start to love people. And even when you trust to love God, we think it's easy to love God. Does God always make sense?
No.
Does God always take you over the rainbow? No. Sometimes he takes you to the valley of the shadow of death. And you're going to have to learn to trust him. And you're going to have to love him even when he doesn't make sense. And it's hard sometimes. And the sooner that you start to admit that, the sooner you start to get ready for it. Pursue after charity. Pursue after charity. How do you do that? How do you seek more of it? Well, the cost is faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. You see, each one of those steps, you've got to make sure that you're taking those steps so that you can get to charity. Joel was a young kid Nita had gotten some vitamins, and they were these chewable. This was back in New Jersey. These chewable vitamins, children's vitamins that taste like cherry and strawberry and all that. So Joel, he loved the flavor of that chewable vitamin, man. So we put them on top of the fridge, not thinking. But Joel's a smart kid. I'm sure he was 4 years old, maybe five. We're off in another room, and I remember coming into the room. I think Nita said, "Where's Joel? He's awfully quiet." And I went into the kitchen there, and I saw he had moved some sort of table up, picked up a chair, put the chair on the table, climbed up on the chair on the table to reach to get that bottle of cherry flavored vitamins. You know what he did? He built something to get something. And you've got to build some things in your life in order to get cherry. We think, "Well, I'll just start loving tomorrow." You will not. You'll love for about 30 minutes, and then it's over. To seek it means you've got to pursue it at the steps that God has. You've got to find out, am I believing God? Have I set limits for myself so I will not say what I used to say when I was angry? Have I put limits on myself? Have I, listen, if you're not growing in that book, if you're not learning that Bible, I mean, I want this to be a Bible reading church, Eric. But I don't want us to be an ignorant Bible reading church. I want you to be learning, asking questions. I want you to be masters of this book so that it can master you. So add knowledge, temperance, where you say, "I need charity. I'm struggling with my heart. I'm struggling. My heart is hard." Add temperance. You see, all these things will lead to the fact where love just conquers all, they say, but not until the Holy Spirit is controlled. And patience, godliness, and brotherly kindness. You see, when you put those things into action, God put this in order, putting charity last on purpose, because it'll be the hardest level you'll ever reach. That doesn't mean don't reach it. Just believe me. Just like with Joshua, or like with Joel, you'll think it's worth it. Look at Galatians. Galatians 5. St. Pat. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And we'll look at what it says.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, godliness.
Goodness.
Sorry, goodness.
Okay. So, if I get trouble with love, and if I become filled with the Spirit, guess what naturally oozes out of my life? Love, joy, peace. So if I start pursuing love, but I'm not pursuing to be filled with the Holy Spirit, whatever love I do experience, whatever love I give is going to be pale compared to the love of the Holy Spirit. So what's your main focus? The Holy Spirit. Okay? Not a fairy tale type of airy-fairy idea of the Holy Spirit, but one that is surrendered to the work of the Holy Spirit that brings conviction of sin and brings worship of Jesus Christ. Amen. When He's in charge, love just naturally happens. It's His fruit that just comes out of the Christian life. He's the author of charity. He's the giver of all grace. Hey, how many of you know how to be full of anger? Do you know how to be angry? I bet you do, yeah. How many of you know how to be full of alcohol? How many of you know how to be full of lust? How many of you know how to be full of envy? All right, well, that's something you know. So transfer it where you say, "Well, I want to be full of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Whatever it takes, because when I'm filled with Him, I'll have charity." Ephesians 5. Is that Tyrone next to you, or is that Brian? That's Tyrone. Ephesians 5:25, Tyrone. Go Go ahead, Tyrone. Can you read it? Oh, he's fine. It's in the New Testament.
Because there is no one, even as Christ calls him, not the trust and gave himself to him.
What a challenge to the husband. I don't love my wife like Christ loved the church. I need to seek to love my wife like Christ loved the church. It's a giving kind of love that starts where? At home. Look at Titus chapter 2 and verse 4. Patrick in the back. Titus 2, 4. I've heard people say, oh, men don't know how to love, and women naturally know how to love. I went, sorry. Titus chapter 2 and verse 4.
That they may teach young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children.
Some young women don't know how to love their husbands. Some of them don't want to. Some of them don't know how to love their children, and they need to be taught, don't they? We need to want to be taught to love. We need to want at home to experience selfless love. It ought to be true in your home that charity is paramount. It ought to be true at church. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. If you look alike, if everybody's wearing a tie, if everybody, you know, has a lot of money, what is it that identifies a group of people as the disciples of Jesus Christ? If you have love one for another. So charity's got to be here also, as much as it is at home, and ought to be anywhere. Your workmates ought to see something definitely weird about you. Not that your hair is spiked. The world has decided how to be weird. Have you noticed that? Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen some holes in some people's ears. I mean, good night, you could drive a golf ball through them. They just seek to be weird. I want to be weird in a better way. Wouldn't you agree? Be different, peculiar in a different way. People will notice you if you have a limitless amount of love, like Christ did. Not that you love their sin, but you love them. People are attracted to love, aren't they? Third, nurturing. You know what it means to nurture? It means to feed. You feed charity with right thinking, with right friends, with right priorities, carefully adding charity to every area of your life. 1 Corinthians 16:14. Dr. Darren there, if you don't mind. 1 Corinthians 16:14. You can't see who in the back of you can. 1 Corinthians 16:14.
Let all your things be done with charity.
All right. So, everything I do should be done with charity. Everything I do should be. So I need to add charity. If I'm getting ready, what would be a good illustration? Getting ready to take the, take an exam. And you're all panicking. And you've got your meeting cert or your junior cert. You need to do that with charity. You know what you're going to need to do? You need to pray. Say, Lord, keep me humble. Let me be a Christian there at the test. Let me do it with charity. Can you do the dishes with charity? And gracious husband of mine, never offering to do the wear, and here I am doing it again. It's not doing it with charity. I mean, Hoover with charity, amen. Fix a car with charity. Come to church with charity. Go to bed with charity. Get up with charity. Let everything you do be done with charity. That's nurturing it. Go to Colossians chapter 3, verses 10. Mrs. Lauser, if you would read chapter 10, chapter 3, Colossians 3, 10 to 14, to the right. Colossians 3, 10 to 14. Well, she all right? Are you going to get somebody else? She doesn't have a voice. All right, I get your son, Josiah, there. Colossians 3, 10 to 14.
and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Whether as he is Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore the elect of God, holy and beloved, with all humility, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man hath quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness.
Alright, now there's a lot to do in those verses in there. Alright, I put on the new man, okay? I get sick and tired of my old man. I got saved, amen? And now every day I get up and I say, I'm going to live by the new man. But above all, the highest order of business I must strive for every day is to wear charity, okay? Which is the bond of perfectness, which is a wonderful way of saying it works and holds us together perfectly, okay? We don't need glue. We don't need to lock the door. What glues us together is charity. And you add it to 2 Timothy 2:22, Brother Dan, 2 Timothy 2:22.
Flee also, youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with them that call on the Lord out of pure heart.
Alright, so there are two directions. I'm fleeing from
youthful lusts.
Yeah, that's the flesh, isn't it? But I'm following after. That's that pursuing again, isn't it? And I'm trying to get charity. I'm trying to live in a mind of charity instead of lust. Do most people really understand what love is? I say no. Most people spell it L-U-S-T. That's what their love is. But charity, when you pursue after that, it's much better. Be quick. The verse is back there in Colossians says, be quick to forgive any trespass against you. How do you nurture love? I remember when I was in secondary school, not secondary, I was in what was called middle school, which would be first year. We had to grow a plant, and we had to measure the growth of this plant. Everybody got soil, everybody got a seed, everybody had water. Every day we'd come in, we'd water our plant, and we were doing, we were taking all sorts of notes, how many leaves it had, when it flowered, And I remember, I thought, because we were supposed to line it up against this measuring thing and measure the height of it, and I said, I'm going to be smarter, I'm going to use my pencil, and I'll mark and I'll measure where that mark is, I'll be even smarter than everybody else. On the plant, on the stem of it coming up, and I just use my pencil really lightly and I marked it and the plant went poof. It was so delicate. I went poof. There's some cellophane. I was devastated. This stupid little plant had crumbled under my little mark. I But so also is charity. If we don't nurture it, just a little bit of the wrong push and the wrong emphasis, it crumbles. Charity has to be nurtured, just like children. They've got to be raised right, amen? You nurture charity. You protect it, which means don't let the roots of bitterness get in there. You're going to have to nurture a plant. You've got to give it plenty of light. You've got to give it plenty of water. You've got to protect it from animals trouncing around. Be slow to wrath. Slow to wrath. If you're nurturing charity, you're not going to entertain any type of anger towards somebody else. You're going to stop judging. You're going to stop coming to evil conclusions. You're going to be gracious. Even though firm, you can have lots of grace. That's how you nurture love. And the last point, you need to protect charity in your life. And we'll finish. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Miss Kathy, Proverbs 4, 23. Proverbs 4, 23. So what do I need to keep or protect? So as much as I'm trying to grow charity in my heart, To keep is an older word. You ever go to a castle, they'll point to a place they'll call the keep. Who knows what a keep was?
Prison.
It was a prison. It had thick walls. You put somebody in there, they ain't getting out. Okay? And to keep your heart. Go to Philippians. I'll show you where that word also shows up. Philippians chapter 4. Kathy, I'll also have you read this one. Philippians chapter 4. And if you'll read 6 and 7, Philippians 4, 6 and 7.
Careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known, be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds to Christ Jesus.
Wow. So, as you pray, casting all your care on Him, making requests unto God, being thankful, all of a sudden, the peace of God comes in and makes a wall around your heart and keeps your heart so that you're not broken like my little plant was when I was in first year. It protects. Make sure whatever sins are in your heart, and we're not good at this, folks. We're not good at repenting. We're proud, European, arrogant jerks. We're not good at repenting and making sure there's nothing in our heart that would make those walls thin and would make us so that all it takes is somebody to say something and we explode. That shows our heart's not kept, is it? So keep your heart. Put a wall that only the Holy Spirit can build around your heart so that people cannot cause you to crumble, cause you to lose your love. Protect your heart. Just by way of conclusion, charity is something quite unknown to the world. That's because it's a byproduct of being loved by God. I walk by people, I see people, and my heart just smites me. I see them as souls.
Yep.
I'm watching them, and here's a man, and he's walking on his way to the super value or whatever. And he looks lonely.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's got anybody he goes home to. I wonder if he's known love in the last 20, 30 years of his life. A lot of people don't know what love is. Never have experienced it. Some of you are blessed. If you've got a saved wife or a saved husband, yeah, you ought to shut your mouth and just praise God, man. Mm-hmm. I don't care what faults, what cracks, what wrinkles. Praise God.
Because
mm-hmm. there are a lot of people out there who've never experienced any love since they were born. And here we are, we were recipients of the love of God. We need to protect that. Charity is something a Christian experiences because we've been forgiven, not because we're worthy. When we decide that all of our problems in our homes, in our church, with our pocketbooks, all of our problems are love problems, heart problems, we'll get a lot of them fixed, won't we? Because if you fix the heart, you can fix anybody. You got a marriage problem? You know what the problem is? There's a heart in there that's not right. Probably both of them. Charity is the bedrock, the foundation of a relationship with God. It's the foundation for a church, isn't it? You know what charity will do? It will produce 10 of the most outstanding characteristics that you can only find in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Charity suffereth long and is. You want that in your life? Whew, I do. How do you have it? How do you have more of that kind of... How do I add it? Well, every morning you need to say, thank you for loving me, Lord. I accept it. You know how you got saved? You didn't get saved because you woke up one day and you went, you know what, I feel saved. Yeah, I feel saved. That's not how you got saved. You know how you got saved? You got on your face and you said, Lord Jesus, I accept your sacrifice in my place. I believe that you died for me and I received the gift of eternal life. That's how you get saved. You accept it. But you know what's interesting about salvation? You got it all in one. Amen? I know some people who wish they could get more saved. I did when I first got saved. I heard somebody tell it this way. I'm not Pentecostal. I have a Pentecostal heart. But I'm not Pentecostal. But I wish I was. because I wish I could get saved again and again and again and again. Because it was good. But it's just as good, it'll be just as good tomorrow as it was today. I got all the salvation, but I have not got all the charity that is available yet. I seek more of it. You got to nurture it, man. That means, just like children, you've got to be careful with it. You've got to use it wisely. You've got to learn how to use it everywhere. And not everywhere does it work easily. And you got to protect it. Next week I'm going to talk about barrenness in the Christian life. Barrenness. The Bible talks about you do these things that they abound, they make it that you be not barren. So there's some things that are making us barren. As Christians, I want to be barren. I want to have fruit. I want to bear much fruit. I think we've arrived at a high level. Maybe you need to go back to faith and say, am I saved? Was I ever born again? That's a good question to ask. If you've never been saved, you can be saved tonight. But you know, if you are saved, that's only the beginning. You can't be more saved, but you can be more Christ-like. Amen? These are things we add to our faith. We can work on all of them. Don't you go after out of this and say, good, I'm glad that chapter's over with. No, this chapter, 2 Peter chapter 1, ought to be lived for the rest of your life, adding constantly. Let's stand. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, I don't know how to... And he stopped talking about charity. I don't know if I even started like I wish I could. Because it sure grips my heart. My heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. I've never known it. I'm afraid of how deep and how dark it could get. I'm glad that you give us new hearts. I'm glad you could take away the stony heart, the hard heart, and give us a heart of flesh and a new spirit in us. I'm so glad that you can swap out the old for the new. But with that new heart, you want us to add charity. We need to take a good look and see. You know, we probably have a lot of things that we love. But we need to add to our love life limitless love. Loving kindness. A givingness that never stops. And we'll only get that through a relationship with you. We'll only get it when we seriously want it. And when we see something else pop up, like a bad attitude or wrong words out of our own lips, God, that we would be quick to cut that out and say, Lord, no, I want to protect my heart. Would you help us to keep our hearts? Nurture this great love. And every believer here, God, may the whole world know there's a small group of believers out there in Ballincollig because we love each other. In Jesus' name, amen.